You're listening to Brumpod, the podcast for small businesses by small businesses, discussing the topics that matter to you, because they matter to us, including marketing, networking, generating business awareness, as well as covering various business tools and technology. Brought to you by Brummies Networking, the home of free, stripped-back business networking. Produced by Happy Content Co.
Welcome to episode 17 of Brumpod. I'm here as ever with Jason and Ewan. And this episode is pretty much a direct offshoot from the last episode, and we're talking about the modern and future state of the workplace. Based on a bit of research we found that didn't get included in the last episode, which focused on a questionnaire which asked what children thought is the most important quality or the most important qualities for getting a job. And they listed it as 1, qualifications, 2, intelligence, 3, hard work, 4, punctuality, and 5, skill. And it just got me thinking. So I thought, well, the whole world historically has always been about kids growing up and getting a job. Just like it always used to be with The Apprentice on TV, with Alan Sugar always giving a job to the winner. And now, of course, that's changed by being a partner in a new business venture. And me, when I was growing up, it was certainly that mentality was still key when you saw the careers advisors and things. And they were always all teaching about what things you need to do to get a job. And it was all about getting a job and not really giving any credence or thought to, you know, becoming a business owner and starting something for yourself.
It's just a one word difference in the sentence, because you're going along the lines of, you were always taught, as you know, our parents were, about learning, getting an education so you can get a job, not create a job or acquire a job.
Yeah.
And that's the big difference, is that a lot of people still have an older outlook that jobs are like chairs in a room. It's a finite quantity, and there's a rush to take one, and there's a rush to take the best one. But there's no such thing as, you know, being able to create your own or bring your own in, or as a lot of consultants do, just squat in the corner and pretend they have a chair.
Yeah. That's the thing with the prevalence now of freelance. I mean, there are so, with the amount of, you know, relating back to the last episode, the amount of workplaces that are set up now as offices for hot desking and things, where freelancers can go in and use a physical bricks and mortar office when they need it, but not necessarily 9 to 5 every day. It's, you know, more and more people now are freelancing more than ever, based on some of the stats from one of our previous episodes. It's like the world is moving on. Even The Apprentice has moved on several years ago to be more focused on the winner being a new partner in a business venture, as opposed to just having a year's placement at one of his random companies. And I thought, well, does the world need to change in this, or has it changed in the sense of education? Obviously, I don't have kids, so I'm not in that world personally. But do schools, are they potentially not giving enough credence to teaching about business growth and business creation?
This is nothing new. I mean, you have to remember that I came in to school just as the computer revolution was starting. So I still remember the computer room before the computers were installed having typewriters in, because typing was a skill. Now, nobody teaches typing. You just assume, with all these keyboards in front of you, that somebody's going to learn how to type properly and quickly. And, you know, the whole something we touched on last month, but it was a big, big subject to tackle, was the nature of work is changing. People are no longer always have to get a physical office and their own desk and a workplace. Sometimes it's more about joining a community. You can go into the city centre to work, have a couple of meetings in one venue, finish up your emails in another venue, and be a complete digital nomad.
And things have moved on. And the other problem that teachers have is knowing what's going on outside, because they're experts in education, but they don't necessarily know what's going on in, as it were, the real world. So keeping up with what the demands actually are is quite hard.
I mean, historically, job adverts always used to use the terms like, you know, must be skilled in, you know, basic typing skills, use of Microsoft Office and spreadsheets and things. It's like these days, I mean, there are probably very few workplaces now that use those sort of tools all the time. I mean, with the prevalence of things like Google Apps now, Google Office and Dropbox Paper and online versions or cloud-based versions of many office-based things, you know, you're not necessarily using the traditional pieces of software like Microsoft Office. I mean, they'll still be widely used, obviously, but with so many other options out there, there are so many ways of doing things in different ways that now offer, you know, far more flexibility than traditional software packages where it's only on your computer and now you can start a document in Google Apps or something or Dropbox Paper on your computer and pick it up straight away on your iPad or iPhone or whatever.
Main thing is don't fall into the trap that you assume that the education is fixed. You're the way you're talking about the teaching computer studies and science, I mean, Ewan's quite right, there is a lead in time, but you're talking about it very much as though you're teaching someone to drive. Now, driving is not going to fundamentally change, even though driverless cars will come in. You've still got a steering wheel, gas pedal, brake. The fundamentals will be there. Computer studies is much more like medicine. They're getting you on a path where you will research, you'll learn, you'll figure out how to do stuff with the current equipment and hardware and technology, but you're also taught that as things progress, you'll develop. So the kids that are learning how to use software packages now know full well that by the time they get into the workplace, these things will have evolved and, you know, grown beyond the standard that they use. So the schools still teach people how to get to grips with this, but not necessarily like a driving lesson that this is how you do it, and so you're already obsolete before you enter the workplace.
Yeah, I mean, I always remember one of my when I did my video degree years ago now, but one of the best days we had there was when a visiting lecturer came in who was a working lighting cameraman, and a 1 day or half day workshop with him ended up being, you know, arguably far more useful than the stuff that was just being taught classroom based, because in the real world it was just totally different. And I think all of us got far more value out of that in many ways, where you can learn how to, you know, light an interview scene on in a book, but then on paper, and it's going to be very different to how you would do it in the flesh in real life, and things that you think this is the proper way of doing it, but then in reality, when you've got very little time to set things up, you actually do it a totally different way. So I think it's one of those things that skills, they're easy to come across, but it depends who you're learning from as to whether it's actually useful and viable for the real world.
Yeah, I went through a very similar process on my first day in a solicitor's office. So I'd done a law degree, lots of interesting arguments about what the law was, got to a solicitor's office. Really, you know, not many arguments about law.
Yeah.
Many more about what actually happened. And what it comes down to as well, though, is learning to learn, because that's always been important, but it's going to become more important as knowledge changes, as different skills are going to be needed. So yeah, Not being afraid to learn is going to be a big one.
Which, if anything, hopefully should stand, you know, the kids and workforce of tomorrow in better stead potentially than any of us, because with the prevalence of things like YouTube now, with people doing video tutorials of how to use, you know, software packages or use pieces of equipment in various things, you know, people now can, especially for the people that are looking to go into the self-employment world, where you've got to be multi-skilled in all manner of things, or be at least well-versed in various tools and technology. You know, now you haven't got to go on a lengthy in-person classroom-based course. You can fire up YouTube and learn things in just a few minutes and pick things up, especially if you're a learner that prefers to, you know, watch and repeat rather than just read a book, interpret, then try and work out how to do it for yourself.
Yeah, but you're almost getting into the almost reverse snobbery of the self-made entrepreneur. I mean, everybody likes to hear about the names like Mike Ashley, you know, a sports direct and his net worth, Richard Branson, or even, you know, who's the guy behind the Carphone Warehouse? What was his name? Charles Dunstan. All these people, you know, no university degree, all self-made. Alan Sugar, you know, Alan Sugar, self-made millionaire. Karen Brady, self-made, worked her way through. Claude Littler, on the other hand, does have a master's and an MBA. James Dyson, you know, he did a four-year course on, you know, engineering design. So it's not everyone. It's just that nobody, it doesn't make a good story. It's not good copy to talk about the success stories of people that slogged their way through the educational system. It's always nice to talk about the people that got there without it. So you can almost develop this false sense of security that you don't need an education to be a good entrepreneur. But you know what? You don't need running shoes to go running. It helps.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. No, I said, for me, I don't regret doing my degree. I'm very glad I did it. And it certainly taught me a hell of a lot and taught me things that, well, and access to people and equipment that I wouldn't have had otherwise, for sure. So, and in that way, I don't regret doing that one bit.
Yeah.
Kids now, there are just so many more options that you can utilize things like YouTube and learn from people and get opinions. And whereas, you know, historically, that just wasn't available. So I think accessibility is one of the biggest things now, availability of information.
It's democratized it, definitely. Everybody has access to the internet. So you no longer need to have the knowledge yourself. You don't need to be an expert. You need to be a librarian. You need to be able to search and search a credible point. And that's one of the things that's really changed with the development of the internet and social media. Is a generation ago, kids were taught about stranger danger and, you know, getting home safe from school. Now they're also told about responsible online conduct. And now we're also being taught more and more about checking your facts before you share something on social media that might be unverified, or could even worse, could just be a smear campaign that you've unwittingly helped to spread further. So I think a lot of the skills that people are teaching will become just inherent. It will be, you know, I mean, one of the great things about the English language is, I can't remember the exact thing, but when people said there was a, you describe something like a small little green polished vase, you will use those descriptions in that order because you wouldn't use a polished small green, but it just doesn't work.
Oh, nobody I know. Yes, I tweeted it. You read it.
Yeah, nobody taught you how to do that. But everybody, every native English speaker suddenly knows that that's the order you use things. That will happen a lot more with digital skills as well. So and I know a good friend that does a lot of LinkedIn training, and he actually said he's been fired from jobs in the past. He was a terrible employee, but he was a great boss because once he set up his own business and he was doing things his way, he was also a lot more empathetic to his employees because of the way he'd been treated, and also understood that it wasn't that he was a particularly bad or uneducated. He just didn't fit the profile of an employee in somebody else's business. So again, with a lot of these digital skills, it will allow people to be more creative, to work more flexibly, but it doesn't necessarily apply to everyone. Some people will work better within a structure.
Yeah. Relating back to that first stat with what the kids were asked and how they answer the question, where they sort of put skill as the last thing on the list of importance. You know, for me, in many ways, you know, skills are one of the most important things because you can create something on your own with skills.
Taught.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing with the accessibility of skills now, with the things you can learn online for either very little money with some of the online course websites or from people that just do it for free through YouTube. But I think it's obviously all down to doing due diligence and ensuring that you, if you are learning that way, then make sure you are learning from the right people and not just to trust one point of view. You know, listen to multiple aspects, multiple viewpoints, just to check that you are getting the right information. So never trust the same, you know, the one route. Always check out a few, just like you would with any news article. Don't just take it at face value. always do due diligence and just check it out and make sure. Because online now, everything online can be fake, especially in the Trump era. You never know what you can trust or not.
Politics alert.
Hard left. Reverse klaxon.
Well, hard right. Just reverse course. General rule is always, if you see something online, before you share it or put your opinion behind it, check it on a couple of different sources to make sure that it's been independently verified and not just made up by someone. And then you've also got to avoid the idea of, you know, when people say, I speak to God as much as I speak to the devil, because I like both points of view. You also then have to generally accept that sometimes other people are wrong. And just because they've spoken about it quite eloquently, they're still wrong.
Yeah. That's always been the case with newspapers anyway.
Yeah. And the one thing you found, Ewan, was the thing that doesn't get talked about much in this context, but the one thing you found was the importance now of character.
Character, I think, can be learnt, but I don't think it can be taught. And all those things about punctuality and hard work and so on are important. But it's actually, you know, integrity, you know, ability to get on with people and not being an idiot.
Yeah.
You know, are all hugely important.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I've got to agree with Ewan's point. Integrity is the probably the top of the list, because activity and productivity aren't the same thing. You know, you want someone that's punctual, but you don't want someone that will clock in, do nothing, and clock out bang on time. You know, sometimes somebody might be a bit of a pain. They might be late, but they might also be the most innovative, creative, dedicated employee that you've got. So it's not.
And they might do more in 2 hours than other people might do in 9.
Absolutely.
Which again, you know, harks back to flexible working and all that things from the previous episode. I think it's got to be a case of face value and treating everyone as an individual. And if someone is at their absolute peak and they work better on the evenings and they can work flexible hours, let them do that. Because what's the point in having someone in office if they're not going to get that much done during the day, but if they are happier working in the evening and they can storm out a whole day's worth of work in 3 hours, go for it. Why not?
Yeah. And in the creative and digital industry, yeah, flexible working is brilliant. Obviously, if you've got restaurant staff, you need them to show up on time and they can't work from home. Absolutely not.
Yeah. Well, it would certainly be cold by the time they delivered it, that's for sure, which is certainly less than optimal. So, yes, so having a viewpoint from seeing what kids answer as compared to being adults now and looking back, I mean, it's clear that the answers are always going to be different from what kids assume are the most important. But
yeah, but we have been talking about skills, haven't talked about qualifications terribly much.
Well, qualification is just a measurement of the skill level or what they've achieved so far, not how much further they'll go.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, how important is qualifications versus, say, experience?
It's a way in most of the time.
Like you said earlier, if you've gone to see a doctor, then you would like to think that they have spent 7 years at medical school rather than just watched a YouTube video of how to do an appendectomy.
And the can-do attitude, yeah.
Yeah. But that's the thing, certainly creative industries, I mean, certain things you can get accredited for, of course, but, you know, there are so many skills that there aren't, you know, just like in my world of voiceover, that there aren't really any courses you can do. There aren't degrees you can do in this. It's just something that you learn and learn on the job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's your ability to actually do it and deliver the voiceover that's the important bit.
Yeah. Whereas you could do a photography degree and become, you know, an expert and have a degree or diploma in fine art photography or something like that. And that potentially you could have an official accreditation in that via university and that kind of thing. But
people will still want to see your case studies. It's like exactly. Reverse snobbery. I worked in sales for decades now, longer than I care to think. When I was first hiring for the sales teams, if I had two candidates, and one had a degree in sales psychology, and the other one had been working in a call center doing the job since they were 17 years old, I would probably be more weighted towards the person that could just come in and do it, because they've already demonstrated. I don't need to see a piece of paper that says they can do it. I can speak to their former line manager. So, yeah, there is that kind of, I think, just going back to the reverse snobbery, but again, horses for courses. You know, people still want to see that you have the ability to learn. Not necessarily how much you've learned, just that you have the ability to learn. And that's what a qualification is.
And regardless of what job or field of work anyone would want to go and work in, I think that's probably ultimately the most important thing, isn't it? If you can learn things ahead of doing what you want to do, great. There are ways to do that. Having the mentality of wanting to show that you are willing to learn new things, massively important. Having all the right things, the showing intelligence, ingenuity, integrity, again, massively important. And I think as long as you've got the willingness to learn new things, show what you've already learned, and then progress from there, then long term, that's got to be a recipe for success, hasn't it, really?
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, that pretty much wraps everything up for episode 17. Thank you for joining us, and we shall catch you again for episode 18.
You've been listening to Brumpod, the podcast for small businesses by small businesses, brought to you by Brummies Networking, the home of free, stripped-back business networking. Produced by Happy Content Co. Follow us on Twitter at Brumpod. You can subscribe to future episodes using Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, and several other podcast platforms. Just search for Brumpod. And if you've enjoyed what you've heard, then please do consider leaving us a review. Music by Bureaucratic. We'll see you on the next episode.